Good morning, everybody. This is Judith Egg. Hope you're listening to Mad Love. Let's get into it. So we had a night. I went to bed. My mom was laying down. She seemed to be comfortable. And then she does that thing that she does. She pops up like, you know, what's going on? I need to be busy. So she did that about 7:15. Well, I decided to lay down anyway. I was like, well, good luck. So I thought for sure she'd just lay back down, you know, but she didn't. So I get up at about, I don't know, I would say 10 o'clock, 9:30, and I see her light is still on. So I'm expecting to go in her room and turn off the light and, you know, just wish her a good night. Instead, she's on the floor. Sitting up, I don't know what she's doing. She's like got to pull the blanket off the bed and just sort of just laying there. And I was like, what happened? How long have you been down here? And I'm assuming she fell just by the way she was down there, and then she couldn't get up. So I get her up on her feet. I give her a napkin to, because she clearly needs to get something out of her mouth. I take the napkin with the stuff from her mouth and throw it in the trash can, and before I can do that, she stumbles backwards and falls on the floor again. And I was like, God damn it, why won't you just go to bed? Like, what is happening? So then as I try to get her to her feet a second time, she can't help me at all. Like, there's no, it's all dead weight and no help. And she's saying it's hurting, and then she's trying to give me all these instructions because, like all old people, she thinks she's in control. Well, you need to do this, and you need to pull that, and go get somebody else. I'm like, there's nobody else to get. So after about 10 minutes of trying to get her up, I had to call 911. Well, I called hospice people, and she instructed me to call 911 and explain that this is a hospice patient and I just need help. So five firemen show up and lift her up and put her back in bed. And the hospice nurse came out, and all this took, you know, I was literally getting up for a bathroom break, and I was deeply sleepy. And, you know, just goes to show, you don't have a dull night with these people. Every time you think you're about to chill and relax, the dementia patient has a whole nother agenda, you know, and she's got Alzheimer's. So everything just gets repeated over and over and over again. So finally, the fire guys were so nice. I had to run outside because for whatever reason, the way they designed our building, you can't see my building from the street that it's listed on. It's not on that street. It's actually on the side street. And then you have to, you know, run out there and greet everybody. So I had to run and get the firemen. I had to wait for the hospice nurse. Yes, I actually am sleepy because I was up for a good chunk and I didn't plan on it. And the hospice nurse, she showed up about 30 minutes after the fire people. And then I had to go outside and get her. And then, my mom was mean and wouldn't let her do too many checkups. But we determined she didn't have any kind of infection. She just, you know, was old and tired and should have been in bed. And instead of just going to sleep, she did what toddlers do, and she was fighting it, and you know, was tired. So it's just, I mean, I get what people are saying, but it's not always like this. It's not like, but I think as they deteriorate more, the caregiver could also deteriorate, because the more they get into this disease, and when they sleep less, everybody sleeps less. When they, you know, start having more and more difficulty, you start having more and more difficulty trying to manage it, you know. And I guess we've been very fortunate that she stayed in sort of a manageable window for several years. But she's obviously declining. I saw a picture from her birthday last year where she was dressed and went to the doctor. And it's like, man, that just seems like forever ago, because I can't imagine a scenario where she gets up, gets dressed, and goes to the doctor these days. I mean, that's why we moved to home health in the first place. And after her fall, we moved into hospice care because, you know, she is declining, and it's kind of obvious. So, you know, if you have someone in this situation, always know that it's just going to get progressively worse, and you need a strategy, and you need a plan, and you need bodies to help you. You know, I'm fairly strong. I got her up once, but when she was completely unwilling or unable to help me the second time, it just, you know, I wore myself out trying to lift her up. And there's a lot of lifting and pulling and yanking, and because, you know, there are times when she just isn't cooperative and you've got to do these things anyway. And again, I'm not a nurse. I'm not trained. You know, my caregiver is trained. Nurses are trained how to do these things, and they work in teams. So, you know, you're going to have to figure all these things out. And it'll be you by yourself, or with a partner, or with some kids, or whoever's helping you in the middle of the night trying to figure this shit out. So all I'm suggesting is you get a head start, start reading about it, start paying attention to your loved one. If they start saying weird shit and, you know, they misplace things, and it's, you can tell the difference. It's more than just getting old. Panic attacks and irrational behavior and asking the same questions over and over again. And, you know, and I'm not saying all this to say, well, great, now you can run to the doctor, because the doctor has nothing for you. They're going to give you a bunch of pills. Well, I think it's Aricept or donepezil. They didn't work for my mom. My dad took something, and it didn't make his memory any better either, but I guess they hope for a placebo effect. But the reality is, you know, you're just going to have boots on the ground. And I don't know what this is going to look like. And what they don't want to tell you on the news, and the government doesn't want to tell you, nobody wants to alarm you. They're okay with people talking about the border. They're okay with people talking about possible terroristic threats from China. They're okay with all this other bad news. Banks might collapse. I think they're throwing up everything they can and oversaturating you with that knowledge, so you won't be paying attention when you look around and realize there's no help for you and your family. Should one or both of your parents or an uncle or an aunt or both, you know, all four people possibly have dementia and Alzheimer's, because they got nothing. They got no cures and no medicine and no help for you. And I'm just giving it to you, no Vaseline, because that's how I've been getting it. And you just wander down this road like, oh, okay. And everybody's going to tell you there's all this help, but it's a fucking lie. There is not help. There is no Calvary. The closest I've come to support is with the hospice team. But they offer you way more support, but not a lot of help. You need people to show up and be with the person, sit with the bodies, you know, which sounds grim, but you know what I mean? You need a person to show up and sit with your loved one while you go to the store or while you go out of town or whatever, you know. And if you don't have people, then you need to have money. And it's almost like they realize people are going to get furious that there's no help and everything costs so much money. I mean, it's almost like they're short. That I think if there is going to be a civil war, it's going to be a from people realizing that the government and the medical community hasn't been doing shit but taking our money. And they're willing to let good American citizens who did nothing but what everybody told them to do die with no dignity and no grace. And that's just how I feel about it. I think they're going to realize, you know, people might go up in arms because they'll realize, oh, you let states gut Medicaid. You know, oh, Medicare hardly pays for shit. Medicare pays for hospice. But do you know what kind of situation your family has to get in before you can get access to hospice? To hospice care? If it's dementia, they have decided medically there's nothing wrong with your loved one. You let that sink in. I did not intend to talk about it this much, but it, again, I'm so infuriated. It just should be better than this. It should be easier than this. Anyway, I got my sister watching HBO's True Detective anthology. It's very good. Like I said, I liked Night Country with Jodie Foster up there as much as I liked the first season with Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. I thought they did a great job. I thought the direction, the guy's name is Casey Fukunaga or something. It's a horrible sounding name. I mean, he's definitely half Japanese, but in American, it's like not, you could make it sound horrible. You can make it sound like a Dave Chappelle skit. But he was the primary director, and I want to say Nick Pizzolatto, can't pronounce his name, but he was the primary writer on the first season. I thought that they did a good job. But then there was all this static, and like Casey and Nick fell out because Nick thought he deserved more credit. No, Casey thought he deserved more credit for the success of the show. And Nick was like, screw you. I'm the one that was the visionary. I don't know. So Casey didn't come back, but Nick stuck with the show as a showrunner. And I think the main person. I did not like the second season pretty much at all. It was way too many. I didn't know who the star was. It was Vince Vaughn and Colin Farrell, who I couldn't think of the other day. But I do love Rachel McAdams, so I enjoyed the portions she was on the screen, and I'm not sure why she couldn't just be the star by herself, but okay. And then I did not get into Mahershala Ali's season too much with the, I know he had memory issues or something, I'm like, nope. And then Jodie Foster's version. I heard so many good things, I binge-watched it over the weekend. I don't know how I was able to do that, but I did. And yeah, it was very good. Very good. Excellent cast. Very good. So I highly recommend it. And what else? Oh, Abbott Elementary is back. Do yourself a solid. If you have HBO or whatever they call it, you can stream the episodes online. Season 1 through, I don't know, season 1 and 2 are up there on HBO, and that way you don't have any commercials, but it's also on Hulu. Very funny show. Happy that it's back. Quinta Brunson, it does a great job. Just a funny show. That's probably the only network show I make time for. Right now I'm getting my businesses ready to start bidding on government contracts and just to keep growing. So don't have a lot of time for TV. But anyway, I don't want to bring anybody down, but I want people to understand the seriousness of what's going on in America. When you have 70 million old people, including two old-ass people for president, old-ass Congress, old-ass Senate, like, we need to get rid of these people. And, like, my mom was steady telling people, I was like, well, if you don't stop bossing me around, you're not in control. You're splayed out here on the floor. And you out here trying to give me directions. It's very symbolic. And it's like, you are out of it. And you're so out of it, you don't know you're out of it. And it's like, I don't want to hear what Biden and Trump have to say. They're too old. We know they're too old. And nobody's going to do anything. That is bizarre. This is the microcosm of the problem that's facing the entire country. And no one seems to be talking about it. Well, yeah, he's old, but he's not old and corrupt like Trump. Okay. I don't know. I don't know this man. I've read enough to think that Hunter and Joe were into some shit. And it makes me uncomfortable. I don't if you read it and you don't even have to go to like a Republican hit piece. You can go read an objective retelling of what happened with Hunter and this laptop, And if it was anybody else, you'd be like, oh shit, they need to be in prison. And then you got Nancy Pelosi and all these other people just raiding the stock market. And no one's saying anything. She's clearly insider trading. I mean, it's just the new hustle. Politics is the new hustle. And these people are not honest, and they are not working for the folks. They're working for themselves. And you can have this cult-like allegiance to your party, but you really need to have a cult-like allegiance to your family and your plan on making some bread and how you're going to look after each other. Because whatever your thing is, you need to figure out how to do it for yourself. Because there's not going to be a ton of help. I'm just telling you. It sounds grim, but let's be honest. The history of America is grim. This eating 24 hours a day, getting fat, not knowing how to do shit, being lazy, that's a relatively new phenomenon in this country. You know, everybody, I get it. I said this many times before on my podcast. I understand coming here as a slave is horrendous. It's nothing to brag about. I do not. It's horrible. It was awful. Subjugation is terrible. No doubt. However, I watched a documentary about the pilgrims, and I understand to come someplace voluntarily is much better, but it wasn't easier. That shit looked terrible. I was like, yeah, we be up here talking about the Mayflower, but the Mayflower had smallpox and it was fucked up. It was really fucked up. There was a site where the pilgrims were so excited. It was on a bluff. There were no Indians. It just looked great. Like, wow, why hasn't anybody taken this spot? And they all get there and they realize there used to be Indians and everybody died because smallpox hit the place. I mean, that first winter, the Mayflower was supposed to land more southern. They wound up landing in New England and half of them froze to death. Yes, they sat on the stayed on the boat, but we're not talking about a cruise ship. This boat was fucking freezing. And then finally, once winter broke, and I've been to New England in winter, oof. And once it broke, the captain was like, y'all got to get out. This shit, we got to get back. This is too fucking cold. And they left them. And they didn't have anything. They were out there building their own houses and trying to figure out what food they could grow. It was really hit or miss. And granted, it is much better to be a volunteer to come someplace than to be a slave, no doubt. But it was not easier. I wouldn't choose either one of those if I had to choose. And because they did not land in a subdivision or a suburb. They landed on like rocks and sticks, and they had to cut down trees. And, you know, none of this shit was fast. And there wasn't Google and there wasn't YouTube videos. They just had to figure the shit out. Oh, can we grow food here? Oh, apparently not. This crop is not yielding anything. Dude, they struggled. And that's the history of America. Struggle. This whole, you know, kind of luxury life is fairly new. My mom grew up, and my mom just turned 87. My mom grew up pretty hard scrabble, and so did my dad. My mom used to get nuts and fruit for Christmas. Can you imagine you had some fruit and some nuts to some kids now? They might try to kill you. Merry Christmas, here's some nuts. Bitch, where's my gifts? So I don't know. Maybe it's time for a reckoning. All right, everybody. Have an amazing weekend. If you get one, I'm a caregiver. I don't get a lot of time off. I am working hard to have a good attitude, but just pray that we get some sleep and some rest. Because I will not have a caregiver again until Tuesday. And that's a long time. All right, everybody. Take care. And know that I'm speaking the truth because I love you. This is mad love. This is tough love. And, you know, I'm right. That's the moral of the story. And I love to let people know when I was right. I am petty as fuck. I will always be like, I told you so. I mean, I love it. I live for that. So if you don't heed my words and you be up one night struggling, I'll be like, I told you so. Oh, take care, everybody. Be your best.